I'm going to today begin a new series of messages. And for those of you who like titles, my title for this series is going to be Somebody Call the Doctor. Touch the person next to you and say, Somebody Call the Doctor. I want to celebrate some people today. By raise of hand, could you wave your hand at me if you work in the medical world? There's a whole bunch of them. Give them a round of applause, guys. So good. I know in our church we have surgeons, we have doctors, we have nurses, we have everything in between, we have support workers. Guys, you're amazing. And we knew through lockdown how desperately we needed you. And it's still true today. So come on, let's give them a proper round of applause. Here's the thing in terms of our faith journey. God has blessed humanity with intelligence. Now, I know the person next to you is probably not as intelligent as you, but we'll let them off, yeah? God has blessed us with intelligence. He's blessed us with creativity. He's blessed us with understanding. And out of some of that, we've developed incredible medicine, yeah? And I say, let's use that, because God's blessed it. God's allowed it, and it's good. I know some people who get so spiritual, they won't go to the doctor or the nurse. They won't take medicine because their stance is, Jesus is going to heal me. Does anyone know anyone like that? Yeah. And great, I admire your faith. However, because we are Jesus' kids, we get the best of both, don't we? We get to partake in the magnificent medicines developed by God-ordained, creative and clever, intelligent people. But when it goes beyond that, we have faith that we serve a healer. Yeah. So we get the best of both. My personal stance is, let's use the doctors, but let's not exclude faith. We get the best of both. Amen? Amen. A funny joke I've always leaned on is this. There's this Christian guy, a faith guy, and he climbs a mountain. And as he gets to the top of the mountain, his equipment breaks and he's stuck at the top of the mountain. But he's a faith guy. So he doesn't panic. And he says, Lord, could you save me? Could you get me down from this mountain? And he waits. And a day goes past. And 2 days go past. And then a helicopter comes. And the helicopter flies down. And it lets down the rope ladder down to him. And they say, get on, get on. And he says, no. My God's going to save me. And the helicopter flies off. 40 days later, the guy dies on the top of the mountain. And he comes before the throne of God and he says, God, I thought you loved me. I prayed that you'd save me. And God said, I sent you a helicopter. Sometimes we can be so spiritual, we miss the obvious. God can provide in all kinds of ways. And maybe medicine's one of them. But let's not exclude faith that our Jesus is the healer. The reason I've called it Someone Called the Doctor is because one of the names you will see referred to as Jesus is the Great Physician. You heard that before? Yeah. Jesus is the great physician. I'm going to read you three passages. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. This is Jesus kind of saying, this is what I'm here to do. Jesus speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now hear me. When we talk about that, he's not just talking about people who've got no money. He's talking about the people who are poor in spirit. He's talking about the people who believe they haven't got everything there is to have. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit. What that really means is, I'm not the full article yet. I know there's more from me. So therefore, I believe for more, and that brings a blessing to it. Are you with me? So Jesus has a gospel that helps people to believe there's something more from me. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, or the year of the Lord's favor. It's amazing. This is what Jesus came to do. He's come to bring healing, physical healing, blindness, people who are captive. And that's not necessarily people who are in prison, but people who are in prisons of themselves because of things that have happened to them, because of thought processes, because of addictions, because of stuff. You're a captive. And Jesus says, but I've come to set you free. Are you with me? Yeah. Matthew 9, verse 35 says this. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Jesus is the great physician. Lastly, Luke 5, 27 through 32. After these things, he, Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he left all, rose up, and followed him.
Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And the scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So can you see in these three passages, it builds a whole picture of all the different things Jesus is here to do. He is here to heal the sick. He is here to set oppressed and captives free. He is here to proclaim favor and liberty. But in this instance here, he's not talking about tax collectors who are physically sick. It's their belief system is causing them to be sick. And he says, "I've come for you to touch you and heal you so that you can walk in the full life I've come for." Are you hearing it? So it's a very big picture, which is why Jesus is the great physician and not the little physician. Are you hearing me? Feelings are important. Every one of us has feelings, don't we? Have you ever listened to a song and it just moves you? Maybe it reminded you of a past time, or maybe it's just the words that are coming out of that song that speak to you in that moment and it moves you. Feelings are good. Maybe you've seen an act of love or an act of sacrifice and you're like, wow. And it does something on the inside of you. Feelings are important because you can understand what's happening to the other person. We get it. We see other people go through stuff. We may have been through it ourselves. It touches us and it's important. But feelings are truly amazing until they turn against you. And then they're difficult. And the area I want to touch on today is, I believe, nearly 20 years of ministry now, I believe is the biggest area that hurts people today. And it's the area of rejection. Rejection is painful. I want to say that everyone in this room has experienced rejection at some level or another. Everyone does. If you're older than the age of about 4... you've experienced rejection. You might not realize it, but you have. And I want to hear, my goal today really is to get you understanding these things, to position you to get free of it, to help you understand other people's behaviors so that you can have more compassion on them, and maybe, just maybe, that God might raise you up to be part of the healing process for someone else. Because rejection doesn't have the last word, does it? And we're going to unpack that today. When I was growing up, I played for Ipswich Town, and in my mind, I was going to be the next big thing, and I played there all through the youth age groups. I was doing really well. They liked me. I was scoring goals. I was developing skills and understanding of the professional game. It was great, but I must have been 16, 17 years old. I was called into the manager's office, and he said to me, "Barry, we're not going to offer you a contract," and it just came out of the blue. I didn't see it coming. And it's just like in that moment, all your hopes and dreams are just whipped away from you as a young guy. And it's just like, we don't want you. It's just like rejection. It's like, whoa, what do you do with that? And if you know anyone who's been through that, it can go one of two ways. Some people literally fall apart, give up on life and just mope through. And other people stand up and fight. But my question to you is, how will you behave? Because there's going to be more rejection in your life. And I believe God wants to put something on the inside of us. I was blessed. My dad was with me at that time. And it was literally the longest drive home from Ipswich. It felt like 10 years in the car. But how good is it when you got a father who says, "It's okay, son. You know, you're still talented. You still got it. I'm still proud of you." And it done something on the inside of you. Because if rejection lands, it can capture you. And Jesus said, "I came to set the captives free." What about the fear of rejection? By raise of hand, we can be honest now. We can be honest now, can't we? How many of you at one point in your life have really fancied someone? Raise of hands. That wasn't the raise of hand moment, but the front row went. I've really fancied someone, but you're scared to ask them out. Why? Why are we scared to ask them out? Can I tell you why? Fear of rejection. What if they say no? And the truth is, the fear of rejection then changes our behavior. It goes one of two ways. No, it goes one of three ways. Either you get proper ballsy. Can I say that from the pulpit? You get brave and you just go for it and push through. Or the sneaky one is ask your mate to ask their mate if they like them. Gets past the fear of rejection. The other one is just to not even go there and miss out on potential fullness of life. And you're robbed by the fear of rejection. Can you see how this impacts lives? And it's impacted your life. Everyone has been touched by rejection. But rejection is only painful when it wounds you so badly it gets in you. It changes you. The first rejection, potentially, is with Cain and Abel. They go to God with their offering. And Cain, he brings in his offering. And when you read the Bible, it says over the course of time, he brings his offering. God wanted the first fruits. He brought something that was a bit later down the line. And then his brother Abel killed the best animal and brought the first and the best. And God said, yes, I accept that. No, I reject that. But some people think it's a blood thing. I don't believe it's a blood thing. I think it's a first thing. He brought the first. He brought something later, afterthought. Oh, here you go, God. It's like we give God a little tip. This is Almighty God. And he said, no, I reject that. And that rejection, hear me, from the Father, got in him. It consumed him. It bound him. It captured him. I don't think he could get past it. Have you ever lived in a time where you just can't get it out of your head? It's all I ever think about. Can't believe they did that, idiot. You go to bed and you wake up in the middle of the night thinking, stupid idiot, can't believe he did that. It's just not fair. I deserved that. I didn't deserve that rejection, and I definitely deserved that job, and I can't believe they chose them and not me. And you just can't get past it. Well, I think that's what's happening with Cain. And it got in him so much that he killed his brother. See, murder, the first murder, was the result of unresolved rejection. Rejection's powerful, and rejection is robbing life and destroying people today. And potentially people in this room and people who will listen online. But I say Jesus came to set the oppressed free. I say Jesus is the great physician. Jesus is the healer. Our hope is in him. And if you're someone who suffers this kind of stuff, I want to believe for you today that you're going to go on a healing journey and it won't rob you anymore. Is there an amen somewhere in the house? Truth is, rejection, you can handle rejection when it's a job interview. Anyone gone for a job and not got it? Yeah, loads of people. It's just like it happens, doesn't it? It's a rejection, but I can deal with it. You know, it's if you're rejected by some random person that you don't really know, it's just like, okay, it's a little, I thought I was worth it, but maybe not. It's not the end of the world. But it impacts you when you expect better. Parents. Rejection by the parents. You just expect better. And it's fair expectation. Best friends who mistreat you, who talk you down, who leave you aside, who move on. You just expected better. We were close. Siblings, brothers and sisters, you just expect better when there's a rejection and an unkindness and something that gets in you. Can I say, church people, church leaders, sometimes you just expect better. You know, if you experience anything like that here, please come to me, because that is not my heart or anyone who lives in this church's heart, but we're people and we make mistakes. We're not perfect, nearly perfect, but not quite perfect. Are you with me? Yeah. Come on, we're a church family. Let's be in this together. What about rejection from entire people groups? Wow. It gets in you. And I think a good example of this is Joseph, Technicolor Dreamcoat Joseph. Here's this guy who has a call from God. He has a dream and it's real and it's true. He's marked out for something special. In his youth, he doesn't handle it very well and he brags about it. And his brothers hate him. Stupid little runt. Joseph, can't believe it. What do they do? Dig a hole and put him in it. Joseph's like rejected by his brothers. He didn't expect it. His youthful enthusiasm caused him to be rejected. More than that, they sell him, send him away as if he's dead. Then he goes on and is rejected by his new boss. He's falsely accused of sexual advances on the wife, and the boss rejects him. He ends up in prison, literal prison. So he's been rejected by his brothers, rejected by his boss. None of it fair, but it planned out a special way, I believe. And here's the key. And here's the key I want you to grasp today. Joseph knew who he was. Joseph knew whose he was. And Joseph knew he had a call on his life. And so he went and he served Potiphar. And he served him with excellence and great character. He was still falsely accused. At that point, he could have gone, shove this. He ends up in prison. But what does he do? He serves with excellence. He maintains who I am. You can reject me. You can treat me how you want. That is your issue. It's not getting in me. And so he served with excellence. And the Bible says God was with him and prospered him everywhere he went. Isn't it interesting? When you maintain character, God can bless it.
Yeah.
But if you allow rejection in, it changes your character. You're tying the hands of God. So we then have to come to the healer and say, get me free of this because I want to walk in your blessing again. Are you with me?
Yeah.
In actual fact, Joseph's rejection became his biggest setup. Because he ended up in the prison and maintained his character despite all this awful rejection around him. He interpreted dreams. And you know the story, don't you? They go to Pharaoh who's had a dream. We know the guy who can help you. They bring Joseph to Pharaoh and now he becomes prime minister. You know, it was his rejection by his brothers, rejection by his boss, maintaining his character actually positioned him for the blessing. Are you with me? So rejection isn't always bad. I believe in that time, something happened on the inside of Joseph where he gained resilience, determination, decided I'm honoring God no matter what. And in that, it positioned him with the ability and character to run a nation. Maybe he had to go through it. So if you're someone who's going through rejection or been rejected or later down your life might be rejected, don't always see it as a negative. Maybe the goal is I'm not letting it get in me. And why aren't I letting it get in me? Because I'm a child of God. And my Father accepts me. And he loves me. And his plan hasn't changed for me. And he's with me. And he's leading me forward. And he's opening doors. I'm highly favored. These are my truths. Someone else's rejection doesn't change that. God doesn't go, oh, well, that's it now then, isn't it? Oh, my plans for you, Barry, are ruined because they rejected you. No. Maybe I need to learn something through that process that will position me better later. Are you hearing me? Knowing who you are is one of the greatest weapons against the debilitating impact of rejection. Come on, you need to know who you are. Jesus didn't die on a cross to wimp out when it comes to you. Jesus died on a cross so that he could bring you into the family and say, now you're a child of God. And all I know is this, if my children are in trouble, I'm there for them. And when I'm in trouble, my Father's there for me. And he's there for you too. So it gives you resilience. Other people's rejection, don't let it get in you. And I'm not negating it's painful sometimes, but don't let it get hold of you. It led to Cain killing Abel. It changes behaviors. It's difficult. I want to tell you a story about my son Josh, who you've heard speak this morning. When he was 14 years old, he was at school. And you've already seen Josh, even if you've met him for the first time this morning, you can tell he's an alpha male, right? You can just see it. He's the alpha. But the trouble is, at 14 years old in a school, there's always someone else who thinks he's the alpha. And there's an alpha off. And Josh wasn't particularly aggressive, but he can only be who he is. So he rocks up and people are drawn to him. It's a God-given thing, I believe. But this other guy didn't like it at all. At 14 years old, this other guy went round all the cool kids and went, that Josh Roberts, he's an idiot. We're not liking him, are we? And he gathered a whole peer group against Josh, 14 years old. It's tough. It's easy seeing him now, you know, nearly 20 years old, strapping that. He was 40, he's a kid. What was that doing in me and Sarah as his parents? I want to just smash someone. But I didn't because I'm a pastor and I'm loving and kind. And so we prayed for Josh and we equipped him and we said, come on, and we gave him Bible verses. And it was good. He just maintained his character. But there's something I loved about what he did. How easy is it when an entire peer group is there to just shy away? Well, at dinner time, they all sit in the big eating hall and all these lads, about 15 lads, all sat together. Josh rocks up and sits at the same table. I'm like, go on, my son. He's just like, we don't like you, Josh, you're not welcome here. He went, well, I don't really care, I'm sitting here anyway. I'm like, that is powerful, isn't it? You can reject me, but it's not going to get in me. I'm still going to behave the same. I'm sitting here in your face. Come on, church, sometimes we need to get around a rejection and go, in your face, it's not moving me. It was powerful. Rejection is not going to rob me of the confidence I know who God made me to be. And I know it hurts people today. Let's consider Jesus himself. And you need to know with Jesus, when you study John chapter 1, he is fully God and fully man. He's not half of anything. He's not half God and half man. He's fully God and fully man. And he came fully man so that he can feel what we feel. And he can overcome on our behalf what we can't overcome. He came fully man. But let me read you this in John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. As soon as Jesus turned up, the very people he came for rejected him. Wow. Jesus understands rejection. He came, he created humanity. He came to say, I've come to set you free from what hurts you. I've come to pay a price you can't pay on your own. I've come to adopt you back into the family of my Father. I love you. And they just went, nah. Rejection. Jesus knew rejection. He knows rejection. Ouch. Painful. Possibly expected better. But Jesus, fully God, knows who he is. Rejection doesn't get in him. It doesn't change his behavior. We read the stories of Jesus. He loves, he leads, he teaches, he heals, he provides, he accepts. It didn't change him. Jesus understood rejection and consistently brought healing to the rejected. So you look at some of the stories. Do you know the story of the woman with the issue of blood? She bled for 12 years. Poor woman. But in that culture, you need to understand, a woman with that condition had to be kept separate from society. So this woman for 12 years had been isolated and alone. 12 years. Sometimes if I'm on my own for 12 minutes, I struggle. This woman, 12 years isolated because she had this issue. She was unclean. But she heard Jesus was coming. And she had to push past her rejection and say, I'm not letting you affect me. I just need to get to Jesus. And she pushed past herself, 12 years of it getting in her. They don't want me. I'm not welcome here. They don't like me. I'm ill and I'm struggling and no one wants me. And but Jesus is coming. She says, I don't care now. I don't care now. I'm pushing past it. I'm getting there. And she touches the hem of Jesus and is healed. Jesus, the great physician. Come on, church. Sometimes we need to push past our own rejection and just get to the feet of Jesus because he will heal you. Similar story with the lepers. Lepers were excluded, highly contagious. And they would have to go and be isolated on their own, but sometimes they'd come out and they'd see Jesus. And every single time, he knows what rejection's like. He knows what they're going through. And he just heals them because he's the great physician. We just read a passage about tax collectors. Tax collectors were rejected. Their own fault. They cheated, they stole, they took too much. But Jesus was able to look past that and see their humanity, see the potential in them. And so he pushed past their rejection and past their behaviors and embraced them. The religious people hated it, but Jesus is just the great physician. He doesn't care. He just loves people. No matter what, he loves people. And he pushed in and he brought health and wholeness to their thought processes and their behaviors changed. I love that when Jesus invited the little children, they all said, no, don't let the children do him. He said, no, let them come to me. Because children were to be seen and not heard. They were rejected from the conversation, but not with Jesus. Because Jesus understood what rejection's like. And you're not going to reject my kids. They are welcome. Can you see it? This is a picture of Jesus. But it gets worse. We find the ultimate with Jesus on a cross. Falsely accused. His own mates have run away. He's on his own. Just his mom and a couple of her friends there. Going through horrendous torture. But then this in Matthew 27, verse 46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? In his darkest moment, he says, Dad, you've rejected me. That's deep. Jesus knows what rejection feels like on every level. He was rejected by his brothers. He was rejected by humanity. He was put on a cross by the very people he came to save. And at the end of it all, even his dad had to turn away. Jesus understands rejection. But let's put some context around it. Jesus hung on a cross and he took on himself the sins of the world, yeah? So I don't know what you've done in your past life, today, or what you're going to do in the future, but I know this, God works outside of time and everything that's gone on before, present and future sits on Jesus. Yeah. You're okay. Yeah. That's not a license just to live how you want. That's actually the grace to empower you to live better. And so he took on the sin. And when his father looked on him, he couldn't look on the sin. Imagine, sometimes I look at myself and it's pretty dark. I say things that are just stupid sometimes. Anyone relating? Come on, don't leave me hanging now. I do things. You're like, oh, come on. What am I doing that for? Think stuff about people and situations. All of that, not just mine, but everyone in this room, everyone in Colchester, everyone in Great Britain, everyone in the world, for all time, sat on Jesus. And his father went, I can't look at that. And he rejects him. But it doesn't end there. Because Jesus had no sin. And he goes down to hell and hell cannot hold him. And so he rises again, doesn't he? And he said, all authority in heaven and earth is mine. I've overcome. And one of the things he overcame, rejection. His father loved him. It was a sin he couldn't look at. And he came out and he said, come on, I am fully qualified to heal you of your rejection. No matter how deep it might be, I've suffered little rejections, Jesus speaking, I've suffered medium-sized rejections, and I've suffered the ultimate rejection. I know, I get it. And he went through that fully human to qualify him to have authority on our behalf for the things we can't handle. Are you with me? Rejection cannot have you. And I know there'll be people in this room it's speaking to even right now. This is where it leaves us. Acts chapter 4, verse 11. This is the stone, Jesus, which was rejected by you builders, which has now become the chief cornerstone. He was rejected, and it led to him being the foundation we can build our lives on. Jesus is the strong place. You might wobble. People around you might be flaky, but Jesus won't. You can build your life on Jesus. He understands everything you've gone through and he still loves you. He's still for you and he carries all authority to make a way where there seems to be no way. That's your truth. That's your truth. Because Jesus was rejected by the Father, it sets us up for something better. We find it in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. Now hear this, he will not leave you nor forsake you. You can hang your hat on that. God is with you. Turn to the person next to you and say, God is with you. Turn to the person on the other side of you and say, he's never going to leave you. Are you hearing me now? People might reject you. Situations might feel like you're rejected, but Almighty God will not reject you. He loves you, full stop. So how does this play out for us? Maybe we need to consider the influential relationships where these things can land. The ultimate rejection, I believe, is from your father, which is why Jesus had to go through what he went through. And the trouble is, fatherhood's attacked today, isn't it? We celebrate men who stay. We celebrate men who create space in their world for their children. But the truth is, absent fathers is very common today. It's not that they don't love their children. They're so busy in the name of making a life for their children, they don't see their children. And I believe the truth is this. Your children don't want your stuff or your money. They want you. And you have to somehow balance all the things that are going on in our very difficult world and cozy lives and all this kind of stuff. I get it. But no, let your children know you love them. Come on, Christian fathers, it's time to let your children know you're proud of them. In my rejection moment in Ipswich Town, I drove home with my father and he said, Barry, I'm still proud of you. That's what you need to hear at certain moments. Come on, and if you've been rejected by your father, it can get in you. No affirmation. Fathers, tell your children you're proud of them. Tell your children they're great. That you can't say enough. We get enough negativity everywhere we go, don't we? Workplace, social spaces, schooling. People are very quick to tell you how useless you are. Well, so how about fathers come and tell your children how brilliant they are, because it's powerful. And if you don't, they start to believe the negatives and it gets in them. Criticism. I wonder how many people, I'm not going to ask you to raise hands, but I wonder how many people have been criticized by your own dad. Shock, you messed it up. Oh, I knew you wouldn't do very well. I knew you wouldn't get that job. Oh, I knew you were going to fail that. And it's just like, that's my dad. And whether they realize it or whether they mean it, it causes rejection. Because suddenly you feel like, my dad's not proud of me. My dad doesn't want me. My dad doesn't love me. Ouch. It gets in you. Even worse, what if you're unwanted? How many dads do you know where their wife or girlfriend's pregnant and you chat to them, I didn't even want a kid. And the trouble is that kid's about to enter the world with their dad not wanting them. And unfortunately, it's commonplace. But I want to say this, Jesus is the great healer. You will know people like this for these situations. It might even be you, but I know this. You don't have to live your life struggling under the power and influence of rejection when we have the great physician who says, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to set the captives free. Why? Because I came that you'd have full life in every expression, and you're amazing. You're my kid, and I fought for you. Amen? I could say similar things I've just said about fathers, about mothers. Mother relationship's slightly different, isn't it? Your mum, without getting too graphic, literally grew you inside her. That creates a special bond that will never be with a father, it will be with a mother. It's different, and often it's more emotional. So mums need to be able to show that emotion to their children so they know mum loves me. Separation of parents, it's difficult, it's not the kid's fault. All kinds of things that go on in these times, but I know this. The great healer can cause rejection to dissipate and not have any more effect. Are you hearing me? The next most important one, I believe, is your spouse. If you're not yet married, can I encourage you? Pick the right one. I don't believe there is one. I believe there's lots of people you could make a fantastic life with. But when you pick them, always get other people's opinion, because the heart is deceitful, isn't it? Oh, they're so lovely. Oh, he's 6'4" and full of muscles. Oh, he's got an amazing job. You should see the car he drives. Yeah, but he treats you like dirt. Do you know? Yeah. It's like sometimes we need to be real, because later down the line you'll pay the price. Because I want to say infidelity is painful. I know people have wrestled with it. And it's like when they cheat on you, it's the ultimate rejection. You're the one person I said I'd commit to for the rest of my life, but actually I want someone else now. Where does that leave you? Can you see how painful we relate to this stuff? I can sense it in the room. We're relating to it. Separation, divorce. We committed to be together forever. And what happens is you blame yourself. Is it my fault? I was rubbish. I was a rubbish wife. I was a rubbish husband. Oh, and you bring rejection on yourself, and you're rejected by the one you thought was going to stay with you forever. Can you see how powerful this is? Yeah. Words. When you marry, the Bible says two become one. And so if husband or wife, privately or publicly, speak them down, it's really painful. Oh, he's useless and he never does anything. Oh, my Mrs. Flipping, can't believe her. Always stuffs it up, doesn't do what I told her. This kind of stuff, when you speak it, it brings rejection and it gets in, and it's powerful because two have become one. Stop it. I love to hear married couples speak each other up. My spouse is the best ever. And then we have a competition. No, mine's the best ever. No, mine's the best ever. Maybe the language should be the best ever for me. But are you hearing me? Yeah. Best friends, you know, someone who you've done life with, you've wrestled through some stuff, you've gone through some adventures with, and suddenly like, now I found someone new. It can get in you. And I think we have fair expectation from how these people might behave. And when it isn't met, rejection is the result. And it changes our behavior. Because once someone leaves, it opens the door in your thought process that someone else might leave later. You've never thought someone would leave you. It's not been in your thought process at all. But when one person does it, suddenly you're like, well, hang on a minute. What if other people leave me? And it changes your behavior because you defend yourself. Of course you defend yourself. You're protecting. But that's not freedom. That's living under the influence of rejection. When people treat us poorly, when they mock us, when they exclude us, when they make us feel small, inevitably we go into protection mode. And it's fair response. Sometimes that protection mode is that we reject other people. Well, they're going to reject me. I'll reject you first. I'm sure we've all been there sometimes. And what it is it's the knock-on effect of changed behavior because of rejection. And we go into protection mode. So I'm not going to be your friend. I'm not going to be going out with you. I'm not going to be going for that job because we protect ourselves. And it's the result and influence of rejection. And Jesus said, I came to set the oppressed free. So that we can live free. Sometimes we back off, we become quiet, we don't make a contribution because we feel our contribution isn't valid. Sometimes we talk too much because that stops people getting close to us and getting in. But all of these responses are about keeping people at a distance. And when they're at a distance, they can't reject me. But that's not full life. Jesus made us for relationship, didn't he? With the Father and with each other. And rejection hinders that. And I'm not having it anymore. And we're not having it in this church. Amen? Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say something encouraging to them. You're amazing. You're looking good today. I don't know. What about this? There'll be people who relate to this kind of stuff. Who knows people, and it can be men or women, who run around having multiple sexual relationships, multiple flings, and they brag about it. Oh, you know, I've got four girlfriends on the go. Oh, I've got three guys on the go. Oh, I'm going to see so-and-so on Friday, and I've got someone else on Saturday, and they think it's great. I want to suggest to you, if you look hard enough, it will be the result of rejection. Yeah. And what they're doing is they're having lots of little mini relationships so none of them get close to them. Wow. And then in the name of bravado, they're like, look at me. But truth is, it's never going to lead to happiness. Because what we really want is marriage. Yeah. What we really want is that one person we can get close to. And what happens is we live in a world that celebrates all these multiple relationships, but none of them have substance. And I want to suggest to you that rejection is part of that. You look close enough, you analyze their story, somewhere along the way, someone will have rejected them, and they've decided, okay, this is how I'm going to live. It changes behavior. Are you with me? The devil wants to rob us. Now, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came for full life. Yeah. And one of the devil's tactics, and we're going to be talking about different tactics over the next few weeks, one of the devil's tactics is rejection. He's used it as a weapon for generations. But I want to say one of your biggest weapons against it is get it in your spirit, in your heart, in your thinking, in your very soul. I know who I am. I know whose I am. I'm accepted. I'm created unique. I'm created for purpose and on purpose. I'm not an accident. I'm not a fluke. I'm not a mistake. My God crafted me in the womb. I am loved and I'm favored and I'm confident. I have a great future. Get it in you. You can find all this stuff through God's word. But then this, and I love this, James 4 verse 7 says this, therefore submit to God. Submit to God. Understand who you are, who he is, and what that relationship looks like. That's your starting point. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, have you ever seen anyone, either in real life or on telly, resist arrest? Yeah. Seen anyone resist arrest? What do they do? No. They're like, get off. No. I'm not. No. You're not putting me in prison. I don't belong there. Get off. They don't just go. Sometimes resisting the devil means being aggressive with it. Sometimes resisting the devil doesn't just mean, oh, no, I'm being attacked again. Rejection's going to get hold of me. No, it's not. I know who I am. I say no. Come on, there's got to be a no somewhere in your spirit. We say yes to God and no to the enemy. Are you hearing me? Submit to God. Resist the devil. I know I'm loved. People can treat me poorly. People can treat me in ways I don't deserve. Situations might conspire against me, but rejection will never have me. I just say no. I love this. Matthew 11, verses 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Now, the kingdom is where the king is. And if you're in God's family, you're in the kingdom of God. And here it talks about taking it by force. And for me, it's a bit like Josh's story. When he sat at the table, rejection was trying to get him. But he just sat there and it was like an affront. No. I'm getting a bit violent about this. No, he wasn't punching anyone. No. I'm not moving. You can say what you like about me, but I know who I am and I am not moving in your face. It's violence. It's like the devil wants to come and put stuff on me. No, I'm not having it. I'm a kingdom person. And in the kingdom, I'm loved and accepted and have a great future. The king provides for my life. The king heals my life. The king opens doors for me. I am saved. So no. And sometimes we have to get a little bit aggressive in our faith and say, I'm standing on the rock. And sometimes that means I'm not just wavering on the rock thinking, oh, life's so hard. Come on, church. Let's grow the proverbial set and push. Yeah. Come on, get aggressive. I'm not moving. But here's the great thing. If you can't, if you're like, Barry, it's so deep in me. If you can't, we have the great physician. Because where you can't, he can. Yeah. And sometimes it just takes some brave soul to say, I relate to some of that stuff. Yeah. I've struggled with it. I know when I look at myself, my behavior's changed. I'm not the person I once was, free and loving life. I wake up disappointed. I wake up expecting things not to work out for me. I know that these things have happened to me and I didn't deserve it and I've just become a shell of a person. When you get there, we have the great physician. Yeah. And also, we have the church. We're a family of faith. And in the family, there doesn't need to be any pride or secrets. It's okay, you've gone through some stuff. Let's stand together. No one here is judging you. You've had stuff happen to you. Maybe you've done stuff you're not proud of. It's okay. No one here is judging you. But what we are going to do is take you to the great physician and in faith together, set you free. So that someone might live differently. Are you hearing me? It's a good question to ask yourself. Has my behavior in life changed because of a rejection? And if that's your truth, resist the devil and he will flee. And you can do that all by yourself. But if you can't, we have the great physician. Are you hearing me? I want to just talk very quickly now, just got a few minutes left, about the root and fruit of rejection. I would normally draw a tree here, and the fruit in a tree can only grow because of the roots. We all understand that terminology, yeah? But I've just done two slides. The fruit here are behavior traits. And here they are on the screen. Behavior traits of rejection. Harsh to others. Aggression. Stubborn. Rebellion. Highly critical. Independence. Pride and arrogance. They're not probably things you'd associate with rejection, are they? But sometimes when people have been rejected, they either react aggressively and proactive, or they shrink back and become reactive. And that first line there, if you know people who behave like that, or if you behave like that, I want to suggest to you there's a very strong chance that rejection is in the mix. When you look at that person, it's always aggressive all the time. Does anyone know anyone like that? Don't anyone say Pastor Barry. You think, oh, they're a real not nice person to be around. Well, Jesus would look at that person and think, what's the issue here? That's the fruit. What's the root? And if you can get to the root, you could actually help that person. And one of my motivations here is if we're going to be the church, not just in the building, but the church in the workplace, the church everywhere else, and we come across people like this, we're now equipped to say, okay, you're a difficult character. And I don't really like being around you, but I've been sent here by Jesus. Yeah. And I'm going to look at you through a different set of filters. And maybe, just maybe, you could start praying for that person. Okay. Maybe God will set you up to have a conversation with that person. And you say, oh, God, you always seem so aggressive. Are you okay? Well, you know, they start opening up a little bit and they tell you their story. And you're like, oh, wow. Maybe it's the next invite to church. Because it's not that they're aggressive, it's because they're rejected. Are you seeing it? People who are highly critical. I know people like that. Every time you see them, they tell you you're not good enough. Oh, well, you're this and that and the other. Well, why? Why are you like that? It's because they're trying to make you look bad so they look good. and by making themselves look good, it's because they've been rejected themselves. Can you see it? You can actually start seeing it when you look at it. The second row, low self-image, insecure, constant grief and sorrow, negativity, withdrawal, fear of failure and anxiety. That's a more obvious list. But both, I believe, have the same root. And they cause people to behave like that. If you fit into those categories, I want to suggest it's time to resist the devil. Yeah. It's time to call it what it is and say, I'm not rejected by the Father. I'm pulling away from this. You need to flee from me. Or maybe you need some help. But also, maybe you're the one who can help someone else who's outside of church. Let's look at the root causes. Touched on them a little bit. Here they are. Conception. Were you even wanted? Some kids are coming into this world rejected before they've taken a breath. They didn't want that kid. It was an accident. Maybe mum and dad wanted a boy and they got a girl. Can I, if you're having a baby or you one day will have a baby, please, 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 when people say, what do you want? Just say, I'm happy with either. Because if you open your mouth as a parent and say, I want a boy, and you get a girl, you said it. And it's spiritually powerful. And I wonder how many boys are growing in our world with female traits. Because before they were even breathing their breath, dad said, I really want a girl. And I got a boy. And it changes behaviours. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Adoption, obvious. Mum and dad didn't want you, gave you away. Speaks for itself. Issues in the family home. If mum and dad are always rowing, if it's just a place that isn't full of love and difficult and you're always wrong and they're always having a go at you, these things breed rejection. Teachers and friends. Now, when we pray for our young people, when they go to school each year, we always pray for the teachers. Teachers have a powerful influence on our kids. And they could bring rejection for a long time, but not on my watch. Hereditary. Isn't it funny how you see mum and dad have behaved in ways that we've seen from the fruit, they're rejected. And then you ask them, and actually their parents were rejected. And then you feel, actually, I'm acting like that too. And somehow this idea of rejection passes along. It's not anything you've done or not done. It's just in your family life. And it's just like, Jesus is the great physician. We can break this stuff. And failure in later life. You know, you make a mistake, you do something wrong or you're not proud of, and it lands on you, I'm rubbish. And you almost reject yourself. But it's not an exhaustive list, any of it. But my motivation today was to get you thinking about your behaviours and why. Get you thinking about people who you know's behaviours and why. And to fully grasp, resist the devil and he flees. And if you're not able to resist, and sometimes it needs to be aggressive, not having it. If you can't do that, we have the great physician. And he will come rushing in and say, I was rejected, I know. But I have authority. And he will release you from the power of that. And maybe, just maybe, your life will go in a completely different direction because you're free. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
I wonder if you could stand. I'd love to have a keyboard player and I want to pray for you guys. I want to invite you to close your eyes. If you're willing, that would be really cool. Let's just take a moment with the great physician. Let's take a moment with our Heavenly Father. Let's take a moment with Holy Spirit and see what he might want to do. Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence here, Father. We honor you. We thank you that you love us. You literally paid the highest price for us. You died on a cross as a declaration of love. Thank you. Just with every eye closed, I want to give people opportunities. Today, the day you say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I've gone through stuff and I don't know everything, but something is stirring in my heart and I know I need you. If that's you today and you want to say, Jesus, you're welcome in my life, just with every eye closed, would you give me a wave? I'm going to pray with you. God bless you there. Give me a wave if that's you. Do you want Jesus in your life today? Maybe you've drifted from him. Maybe you've never known him, but we're going to pray in. Thank you, bless you. So good. Let's pray a prayer together. I'll pray the line, church, you follow me. Father God, thank you that you love me. Today, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong, but I thank you for your forgiveness. today am a child of God. Amen. Amen. So good, so good. Let's just hold this moment. Jesus. Father, I want to lift up everyone in this room who totally relates to this rejection issue. When we're honest with ourselves and we drop our barriers, we know we've been impacted and it influences us. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you'd empower us to resist, to aggressively push back against it and say, no, I know who I am. And we say, devil, flee. Rejection cannot have us. We are acceptable and loved. Now, I'm going to give you just a minute to do your own business with the Father in this space. It's a holy moment. Come on, it cannot have you. Jesus came to set the captives free. Rejection doesn't get the last word, Jesus does. And what I'd like to do as we close is just to invite the prayer team forward. If you're in the prayer team, or even if you're not on today, could you come forward if you're someone who knows to pray? If you could just come forward across the row. This is, as I prayed about how to handle this moment sensitively, we're not going to sing another song like we normally would on the way out. We're going to respect the space. These are personal things. So if you're someone who's stood here today and says, actually, it would be really helpful for me to have someone pray for me, because I don't want to leave this place rejected anymore. I don't want to leave this place with the influence of rejection in my life. Jesus is Lord over my life. Sometimes we need that help. So I'm going to ask the guys on the team at the back if they could just play us some worship music quietly and relieve Matt. Lord, I want to thank you for this meeting. I want to thank you for your gentle yet powerful presence here. Lord, I know you've touched some issues. Lord, I want to ask right now that there'll be bravery in the room. That we wouldn't just walk away thinking I'm okay when deep down we know we're not okay. That we would actually come to the great physician. Can we have that music playing, please? If we could have that great physician. Come on, maybe, guys, you need someone in the church family to stand with you and appropriate Jesus' victory. So I'm going to close the meeting down with a prayer now. And you can do one of three things. You can sit for a moment and just do your own business. You can go and get coffee and go to the Connections tent. Or you can come forward and allow someone to stand with you and see you free of rejection. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for lives changed. Thank you for the inspiration that you have authority. You are the great physician. We cannot be held. You came for fullness, and we are going to fight for that with you. So I send everyone away encouraged and blessed, Lord, to live a fuller life, but also to look around us with fresh eyes, to see other people's behavior and to pray for them with authority, that we might see people's lives changed all over the place, all over this city, for your glory. And all God's people said, amen. Guys, feel free to go and get